Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Finding cures, saving children, that's what it's all about at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. They treat kids from all 50 states and around the world who have cancer and other life-threatening diseases. That inspired me and others, of course, because all children deserve a second chance to live long. So I sat down on this episode and others that's coming on during the month of May. I interviewed Dr. Lupo and his wife, Mrs. Dr. Lupo, the well-known Twitch streamers. And I also sat down with Melanie Hanick, Chief Digital and Innovation Officer at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And this is the first episode of St. Jude Play Live podcast series. Enjoy.
Listening to Gamertag Radio.
My name is Benjamin Lupo. I go by Dr. Lupo online, and I guess sometimes people watch me play video games from time to time.
All right. And you?
I'm Mrs. Dr. Lupo, or Samantha Lupo, and I just hang out with him a lot.
Yeah. So how the name came about?
Okay. So back in college, my dad was a professor where I went to school, and I met a bunch of my friends through Halo. And they took classes from him, psych professor. And so at one point, I had a different name, a different like online persona name, which I still to this day have not told anybody. So, so you don't get to know now, and it's just keep it going.
No exclusive, okay.
But they thought it'd be funny if I changed my name to Dr. Lupo so they can make Halo jokes in class. Because my dad knew that I was a gamer, and like he knew that my friends played a lot of Halo. Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, whatever, sure, I'll give it a shot. And it just kind of stuck. Granted, many years down the road, I didn't realize that the channel would get as popular as it was. And so having your last name in your Twitch channel, probably not the smartest thing to do, but we're here now, so it's a little too late.
Yeah, and you?
I didn't actually have a Twitch account for when he first started. I would just hop onto his and chat in there. And eventually he's like, do you want your own? And we just thought about it, and I was there to support him. So it only made sense for me to make my name to just support his goal and his dream.
Very, very cool. So how did you guys get involved with St. Jude Play Live?
I had done a couple charity things back when I first started for the National Fragile X Foundation and then eventually Make-A-Wish. Mm-hmm. But intermittently throughout there's an event called Guardian Con, which is a charity marathon for a week that they stream on the Guardian Con channel. And it's, I think, 42 broadcasters for 4-hour blocks over the course of an entire week. So the channel's always live, always raising money for St. Jude. I got picked as I was like the B team. I got put in a midnight to 4 a.m. slot, which was rough. Arguably the most difficult slot because rough. It's like everybody's asleep.
I remember you napping before you had to go on to that, too.
That was tough. And so that was for St. Jude, and I got in, and I felt very motivated. My block, arguably, compared to others, like it's not a contest. Obviously, even if a channel just raises a dollar, it's still a dollar more than they have before, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But I think we did about 4,500 in 4 hours, and I was like, we could have done better than that. Next year, as my popularity had continued to increase, we did 67,000. And then last year, in 4 hours, my channel raised the most at $356,000 in 4 hours.
That's awesome. That's
awesome. Crazy.
But yeah, reading your bio, I noticed that you guys really focus a lot on community. That is like super important to me because I feel like a lot of content creators, they just think about so much about the numbers instead of engaging with their community. Why is it so important for content creators to engage with our community?
Because without them, I wouldn't be anybody, man.
They make the job.
I physically would not be in this room if it were not for like people. Last night, we went and saw Avengers. We were waiting in line. Yep. There were a bunch of people there that recognized me, and they're like, wait, are you? I was like, what's up, dude? They're like, why are you in Memphis? We talked about Play Live Summit and stuff like that. But those people are the reason that I am where I am. So why would I do anything other than what I think is potentially best for growing and sharing that community with more people?
And some of these people, like, they've been around since before I was pregnant with our son, and they've watched our family grow and our son grow up, and they send him birthday presents and Christmas presents, and our community is like another family. When we go to GuardianCon every single year, we have a Lupo family event where we take a picture, and every single year the picture just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And they're just like family to us, and we super appreciate them.
Yeah, I was having a conversation earlier, and I was telling to a couple of people that gaming changed my life. Atari 2600 changed my life completely back in the early 80s. So is there a game that completely changed your life? Getting into the whole content creation thing or what?
Or
even before that, just gaming in general.
I mean, gaming's been a part of my life since I was five, probably. So 26, 27 years, something like that. So it's always kind of been omnipresent. It kind of makes it sound scary. It's not. Gaming's not scary, trust me. I mean, if you look at my career path, I played a lot of Destiny 1. And eventually when I started to get burnt out on that after almost – I would say a year and a half straight of streaming the same game, I started to kind of bounce around, and eventually I ended up in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, PUBG. And that's where this is always kind of my reference moment of like, this is where everything kind of changed. I met now one of my best friends, Tyler, and people know him online as Ninja. Mm-hmm. I love the guy to death. He's like my brother. And I got incredibly lucky with the circumstances in which he and I met. Let the record show that I took him out. It was not the other way around. Very important. But it was that kind of all the stars aligning for the way that played out set in motion what I think was one of the biggest life-changing events or at least for my career that you couldn't even imagine how everything lined up and where we are now. The fact that I'm here in front of you and what the channel's done last year for St. Jude and just how crazy things have gotten in the best way possible. I get on a flight tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock to go out to LA to cast Fortnite. And then Monday I'll be back home so I could work again until I leave again on Friday to go back to LA to cast more Fortnite. Like, you can't make that up. I never in a million years thought that would be my life.
Yeah, that's a crazy schedule.
Yeah.
Nonstop. Yeah. But it's good. It's keeping you busy. You know, it's really, really good. And you, was there anything that...
I've been like in an ebb and flow with gaming my whole entire life. So I wouldn't say that one that like really has changed my life, but the one that's changed our family the most, I think, is Fortnite. Epic has just completely embraced us into their family as well. And so I feel like if we ever needed anything that they would be there to help us out. And
what they do in the game is controversial or not. Just saying.
Trying to start trouble.
I'm saying it's recent patches. Some people are not the biggest fans of, but ultimately the game is always, its focus on fun for me is what keeps me coming back.
Yeah.
Because that's what gaming should be for people. That's when we were over there playing with the kids, they were all about fun.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what gaming should be.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The beauty part about it, that seeing them just smiling, because I know they're going through a lot in the last year. So just them, the kids playing all these different games and even Lego and stuff, like, it's pretty cool seeing that. And I think coming here, seeing like the tour completely like inspired me so much, man. Like, I definitely want to give back, you know. So was there anything that you guys were like, oh man, I want to meet some like kids or anybody that a story you'd like to share, like, from previous years? That
we were at the patient event yesterday, and we watched, they send us these videos to show people and everything, and the two of us just fell in love with this little girl that's in one of the videos, and we're like, man, she's just like the brightest little star in the whole entire world. And she walked into the patient event yesterday, and I was like, is that her?
Oh, I'm gonna be starstruck by, what is she like, 6-7 now? Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, maybe
about 6. It's so funny that like you and I both started.
I immediately went over and I was like, "Can we meet her, please?"
That is like, that's pretty cool. That's super cool.
And she really had no clue who we were. But
nor did she need to. I mean,
no, she definitely did not need to. But it was just like I saw her and I was like, "Man, and she is just as beautiful as she, and her smile is just as amazing as she was in those videos.
So I've been asking this to every content creator. Sometimes a lot of the content creators that up and coming, you know, they feel discouraged. Maybe they don't have a lot of views, a lot of followers. Why do you think it's important for them to get involved with Saint Jude Play Live?
Because ultimately, I mean, you people have, you've probably heard it a million times before, every single dollar counts.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how, if it's one, if it's a thousand, if it's a million, ultimately it's all going, it's all part of the same goal. It's not like we're competing against each other. So being discouraged by how much or how little, even though it's not little, people raise, it's, you're still helping kids in one way, shape or form. Like that's the takeaway at the end of the day. St. Jude Play Live is about the greater good. It's not about the individual person. You're playing for more than bragging rights. I mean, I see people around here all over the place with the shirt.
I got the same shirt.
It's a fantastic shirt because it really speaks volumes to what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
It's not about me and Samantha. It's not about, you know, Tim the Tan Man and Ninja and Courage and anybody else that does any charity stuff. It's not about the individual name. It's unless your name is St. Jude.
Yeah, definitely.
We were talking about earlier that it's $25 a second. And if you raise $25, you own that second. And that second could be life or death for somebody. Mm-hmm. So even $25, like if that's all you raise in one time, then cool.
Yeah.
Because you could have helped, you could have made that $25, that 1 second, be life changing for somebody.
Mm-hmm. So what's your goal for St. Jude Play Live for this year or next year? Like what's your goal now? You guys, I know you've been really, really involved. So it's good to hear.
So I am one, when it comes to charity stuff, to shy away from setting targets, that kind of thing. Because ultimately, if I don't if I don't have a solid target in mind, then I can't possibly be disappointed in anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we raise only $100 this year, then so be it.
Yeah.
It's $100 for St. Jude, right? Mm-hmm. Last year we did $1,343,000 in 24 hours. In 1 year. That's all of 2018 put together.
That's awesome.
I'd like to do 2 million this year. It's 2.8 for a day, and it would blow my mind if we could somehow, I'd have to more than double from last year, which I don't know if that's possible or not. I have no idea.
Everything is possible, man. I think with the power of the community, anything is possible, man. And you guys are very influential too. So I can see that happening, man.
Well, I appreciate that.
I definitely can see that happening, man. So, and anything else we'd like to say?
No, I think this year we'll hit the pavement and make sure that our efforts aren't lost and that we put every second into it that we can.
Definitely, definitely. So what is it about Fortnite that you guys love so much about that game?
It's insanely creative.
There's skins that look like me.
There's a lot of skins that look, the community often will want to get posted like, hey, look, it's another Mrs. Dr. Lupo skin.
Yeah.
And we always rub it in Tyler's face that he doesn't have one yet, and she has like 5 in the game now. Even though they're not actually her.
No.
They're
I pretend they are.
So Fortnite, Epic embraced what I like to call shenanigans. Mm-hmm. It's the silly stuff. It's that fun side, like shooting people on, you can ride a rocket into the air and jump off and try and take somebody out on the way down. That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't often see publishers, developers embrace those things. And Epic was like, yeah, we're on board with that. Let's make that a thing.
And I just love the family getting involved too. Like, yeah, let's all play your squads. Let's go for it. Man. That's pretty cool. So I just want to say thanks for the interview. It was really cool. Really cool. Awesome. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. Well, I'm Melanie Hannock, and I am the Chief Digital and Innovation Officer at LSAC.
One thing, I was reading your bio and I noticed that you, in the past, you used to work with Disney, Atari.
Yeah,
Speaking about Atari, my grandmother back in the 80s bought me an Atari 2600.
Yes, awesome. Yeah,
that console completely changed my life.
Oh, I'm telling you, it did for me too, actually. I can remember playing it when I was a kid all the great games that were on it. I probably played the game that was the maybe the least favorite was the E.T. one where E.T. kept falling in the hole.
I have a love and hate relationship with that game.
I know. And I kept like trying to find the little piece down in the hole.
Yeah. But actually, so years later, now you know, I'm a content creator and everything, and I bump into Nolan Bushnell.
Get out of here. That's
and
awesome.
Like, and I told him my story, like, because of you, I'm here, man. So thank you so much, man. So it was really cool. Really
that's
cool.
That's so cool.
So from the past jobs you have in previously, like, how that helped you to learn some things from that in the industry and bring it to this St.
Jude? Yeah, well, like bridging back to the Atari 2600, I guess I never would have thought I'd be working for Atari when I got older, but it was a lot of fun. I first got into really gaming and working in gaming when Hasbro was taking some of their traditional board games and making them into video games. And so I worked at Hasbro Interactive and got a chance to take content like Tonka, which was a toy, and make it into video games and work with developers and creatives and game designers and all that. And it was super fun. I worked on Barney, worked on Thomas the Tank Engine, SpongeBob.
Pretty cool resume there.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I got to work on Nickelodeon games and like singing with SpongeBob. I don't know.
Yeah, so let me ask you this: like, how St. Jude Play Live came about? Was it your idea? Was it just as a team? Like, how did
you know? It's funny because I said my role here is in innovation, and one of the key things I think with innovation is try to give people an opportunity to do their best work and to think of new ideas. And honestly, it was Zach Witten, who was in our digital group at the time, and he said, hey, I want to work with gamers. Can I have a chance to work with gamers? And we were just like, yeah, go ahead and go for it. And it was really his energy and drive in reaching out to the gaming community. And in 2014, really, the first 12 gamers came on board and the community started to rally around this up until today, where there's now 300 people here from 30 countries.
That's a big jump. That's a big
amazing.
Jump. And how much as a community has been like raising from 2014 to now in total? Do you have an idea?
Oh my gosh. I mean, more than my wildest dreams could have ever imagined. I mean, the gaming community has raised about $12 million for us. And I'll say so far, because they've embraced our mission really well. And, you know, we're all here because of Finding Cures and Saving Children for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
And was it difficult at first to, because I get it, because sometimes the non-gamers would be like, oh, gaming, they won't take us, the community, serious, right? But was it difficult for you guys to educate them about?
No, not me, because I've been in games for, a really long time. But what I'm so impressed with is that the gaming community has just rallied around the mission. So I would say here, we've just been grateful that we've been so fortunate to have the gamers really, come here, bring their love to the mission, and hopefully, taking it back to more gamers to spread the word, because gamers, they've done a lot of good.
Yeah. And any cool stories about content creators that you were like, man, I can't wait to meet them like in person?
Oh my gosh. Like all of them. Yeah. It's funny because I've been around for a little while, and I look at how creative and how new technology, is enabling like everything, like people to obviously to live stream and have their unique identity, like their unique personality come out and really personalize experiences for the people who watch them and who participate and podcasts and all that. I mean, none of that was around like a long time ago, right? And you've been in it, sounds like for a while. So you're
a very long time.
You're a trailblazer, which is awesome.
Yeah. So let's talk about now gaming, because I've been noticing during the tour, I noticed there's a lot of gaming systems for the kids to play.
Yeah.
And also a room for teenagers too, right?
Yeah, like, that's right.
So,
that's right.
I know my stuff.
You do know your stuff. Good job.
So are you also involved with that too, getting digital games or anything digital for like the patients too, or is more of like the media content creation side?
Yeah, I got it. So so my role here is more on the like the fundraising side of things. But I will say that we work very closely with our hospital partners to make sure that we can bring what we do, like with gamers, over to the hospital. Specifically, I mean, games as a whole, you know, the kids and families are going through a lot when they come here and come here for treatment. And, mm-hmm. you know, the games and the gaming systems and the teen room and everything that you got to see on a tour is really a nice way for them to sort of feel like they can have a regular life, like that they've got things to almost like not think about what they're going through and to just have some fun. So gaming is really important for us and for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of content creators that are either afraid or discouraged to start a fundraiser, like to help out St. Jude's, right? Because maybe they feel like, I don't have a lot of followers, I don't have a lot of viewers compared to like the big time streamers, you know? Why is it important for everybody to get involved instead of the well-known streamers for them?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, when Danny Thomas first started the hospital, he said that he'd rather get $1 from a million people than $1 million from one person. And, you know, part of his just mantra, like why he thought that way, is he thought that the more we can have people from every walk of life, no matter whether they can give $1 or $1 million to support the mission, the more that we would have really success with the mission and success in helping to really eradicate the world of childhood cancer.
Do you see yourself trying out streaming too with other gamers?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's like amazing. I never would have thought when I first got into the gaming world, now probably, I hate to say it, like 20 years ago, right? Or longer, that this would have been what it's become. I can remember seeing the first really streaming technology probably in 1991 or right around 2000 when
it's like
prototyping of gaming. And when I was at the Walt Disney Company, one of the things that was in my group was Disney's Toontown Online, and it was created by the VR studio, so the virtual reality studio, somewhat as a prototype for how can streaming work, how can real time latency issues be navigated through a massively multiplayer online game. And it wasn't ready for prime time because broadband wasn't something that was a thing. And so we really couldn't do it until, of course, the years progressed and all that. So
yeah. I know I was telling you how Atari 2600 changed my life, right? Yeah. To you, was there anything in the past since you started working in the gaming industry that change your life too, like mine? Was it gaming? Was it something related to gaming?
You know, I think you know, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and coming here and experiencing the mission. For me, you know, I've worked here now 12 years, but every time I go over to the hospital, even today when I went over for lunch, you know, I just see something more about the best of humanity. And I think that that's life-changing. And how I'd translate that into games is, games and the gaming community is such an experience, and being a part of it is unlike anything you might know. And when you tie that to now the hospital, I mean, I really think gamers can change the world. I really do. And so I'm thrilled not only that this came about years ago, but I'm excited for the future ahead.
And what's the goal for you now and your team?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, what's your goal? Anything that like we got to do it next time? Like next?
Oh,
year,
we got to do it next time in games or in general?
In general, because I feel like it's cool to know and about this, because I want the listeners to also get involved and and help out.
I mean, big picture, I would say I think the future for us is really how do we really literally go global, like, and take and fund and imagine a different future globally for kids that have cancer. And back in September, we announced a partnership really with the World Health Organization, where we're going to be working globally to, by 2030, to advance cure rates to 60% and beyond in the top six pediatric cancers. And so I'm really looking forward to a future where we can advance the cures for every child. Because, you know, Danny Thomas said no child should die in the dawn of life. And he meant that no child globally around the world should die in the dawn of life.
I just want to say it was an honor to interview you. It was very cool.
Oh, an honor for me. Yeah, I want to talk to you more.
And it was very inspiring. You know, just learning learning different stories from like patients or content creators that are involved with this. And it was a pretty cool experience, man, since I got here. So, and actually just the tour, also learning more about the hospital, because I just probably knew like the basics, but I think coming here and seeing it is a total different experience, man. So it was really cool. Really
first, let me say I'm glad you could come here. And second, I don't know if we're running out of time, but I want to ask you a question. Yeah. Anybody who's come here and your tour, what was your favorite part or surprise?
Just how gaming changed a lot of the kids that been going through a lot.
Yep.
Because a lot of the adults that probably will see gaming as like, oh, it's a little kid thing, whatever. But when you look gaming to me, when I'm going through some stuff in my life or stress, that's like a way for me to like, to help myself. Like, let me play, let me release some stress. So I can imagine the kids are going through a lot in their life and then playing these games. They go to like a totally different world, maybe in the Mario world or Tetris or, you know what I'm saying?
No, I know. So Tetris, that brings
so it's,
memories
it's cool.
Too.
It's cool seeing that. It's like gaming could change. It changed my life, so it could change their life too, you know? So it was really cool. Actually talking to Caleb and talking to him.
And Miguel.
He was telling me about like, playing all these games when he was a kid here.
Yep.
And he mentioned those 3 years being a patient here, that was like one of the best time in his life, you know, and it's cool hearing that from him, you know?
Yeah, so really cool. It really is. Yeah, it kind of gives like an escape from like the day-to-day things that are going on. And
it's, to me, it's very positive too.
Gaming, you know, it's always been really kind of a community thing too. If you think about it, like for multiplayer, even before streaming and before influencers and all that, is that gaming is a way for maybe even families to come together or to play if they were in a home. And now, of course, you can play with anyone around the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the community aspect and the way to connect not only with the content, whatever that is, but also with audiences is something unsurpassed, in my opinion, with any kind of entertainment.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks again once again. Thank you so much. Right. Great conversation.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
It was awesome.
Awesome.
Right, thanks.
Well, we're going to wrap it up here. The first episode of St. Jude Play Live. I want to thank Dr. Lupo, also Mrs. Dr. Lupo and Melanie for giving me the opportunity to interview them. Also, the PR team, everybody at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Thank you so much for inviting me to the event, to the summit. It was very inspiring. I left the event super, super inspired. So, all right. So play for more than bragging rights. Go right now to playlive.stjude.org. That's playlive.stjude.org. And let's get involved. Let's raise some money here. All right. Thank you for listening. Tune in for the next episode coming out next week here only on Gamer Tag Radio.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.